Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up outside of St. Louis, Missouri, earned a BA and an MS in psychology, teaching, and counseling from Southern Illinois University. Since 1993, she's been designing and delivering training programs to over 2,000 corporate and Christian audiences to improve leadership skills, strengthen teamwork, and increase volunteer impact. She's the author of several books, including Lead Strategically, Tools for Success in Your Ministry or Mission. Her name, June Kennedy. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to June Kenny. For the last 30 years, she's been designing, delivering training programs to tens of thousands of people, making improvements in their lives and our lives. June, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Tomorrow we celebrate Mother's Day. So in that vein, can you lead us in an opening prayer this evening?
I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today and for all of the days that you give us. We pray that you will guide us and lead us as you always do, and help to open our ears so we can listen to you. We especially want to thank you today for all of the mothers and grandmothers that are out there and the precious work that they are doing, growing young people into mature adults. Please bless them and protect them and guide them. Jesus, in your name, we thank you and we love you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, June. Back in 1914, Woodrow Wilson declared and proclaimed that Mother's Day would be a national holiday that was to be held each year on the second Sunday of May, which is tomorrow. So, first and foremost, you're a mom to Chris and Katie. Mm-hmm. Webster defines mother as a woman who conceives, gives birth to, or raises and nurtures a child. June, to you, what's a mom?
What's a mom? Well, this description you just read is really just the starting point. Being a mom is probably one of the most complicated jobs that are out there, partially because a mom needs to be, I don't want to say you need to be an expert, but you certainly are called to try to be an expert in a number of different jobs that fall to you as uniquely as a mom. And thinking about it, I kind of came to me that I see mom as really having five jobs all in one. So the first job that comes to a mom is they need to be a medical expert, because there will be 1,000 boo-boos that can only be healed by the magic of a mama's kiss. And others, it just doesn't substitute. So whether she has medical training or not, that is part of her job. The second part is she needs to be a psychologist, because there's going to be a lot of heartbreak and a lot of hurt feelings that need to have somebody to give encouragement and a hug to get them through that. The third part is mom needs to be a policewoman, because you are not going to go out in the street and play or stick your finger in the light socket, no matter how badly you want to. She's the one that monitors that. And the fourth big part, as I see it, is mom needs to be part lion tamer. And fortunately for us, that lion taming skills don't need to be there for at least a couple of years. It kind of kicks in at two. And this is when our precious little one has learned their role in the world, the role in life, as the center of the universe, and pretty much deciding that they like it and want to keep it that way. It's the mom who has to train them up and guide them to recognize that you're not losing any of your specialness. But just to let you know, there are others who are special in our lives, and that is your big brother, your sister, your mommy, your daddy, and other people in our family. You haven't lost any of your specialness, but there are other people who are also in this universe with us. And I think that's a tough job, and it takes years to do. And it is kind of like wrangling a lion and getting them tamed, if you will. And the fifth part is maybe, I think, one of the important ones. Mom has to be a part zombie, because you have to do all of those other jobs on little to no sleep for years. And looking at the challenge that we have as being a mom, you wonder why anybody agrees to the job. But there are so many blessings to it.
Easy for you to say, June.
No. Okay.
All right. I don't know who said this, but life doesn't come with a manual.
Yes.
It comes with a mother. June, the world will mock a young person, cheat a young person, write them off, ignore them, bully them, but a mom will always be there for that child through thick and thin, good and bad.
Yes.
Why so?
Well, I think I agree with that description, absolutely. A mother's love is unconditional love, but it's more like, and I love the way you just described that, it's more like if you think of a lighthouse that has a beacon that sends out that to guide our children and to guide them through the problems of life and the storms of life. And what matters is that beacon, the light is always on, and the lighthouse never moves. And that lighthouse and that beacon stays with us even when we grow to be adults. We hear mom in our heads to help us make choices that are better.
Talk about the importance of I love you to a child.
Oh, my gosh. That touches my heart so much. That is, I can't tell you how important that is. And I say that from personal experience, in that when I was growing up, I never heard those words. And now as an adult, I can look back and I know my parents love me. And they would have said, of course we love you. We feed you, we protect you, we take care of you. You have food, you have housing. They were both extreme introverts, and verbal communication just wasn't part of the dynamics. But not hearing that, it made me wonder if I was lovable. And one makes a lot of mistakes in life when you go through life not recognizing that you have the love of your parents. So please, parents out there, don't ever hesitate to say, I love you. It is so important.
We're talking to June Kenney and her husband, Tim. We're blessed with Chris and Katie and now 9 grandchildren. When we come back, we'll talk about the difference between a mom and a grandma. And I'm Jack Basula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with June Kenney. June, your two children, Chris and Katie, have probably said or thought hundreds of times, is that the same woman? They watch and hear what you say to your 9 grandchildren versus what they said to the two of them. What's the difference between being a grandmother and a mother?
Oh my gosh! Yes, we've heard that from both of our kids, saying, "Who are you? We have no idea who you are." well, a mom is that source of guidance, and sometimes the guidance is guidance in directions that a child doesn't necessarily want to go at the moment. But with grandkids, as a grandma, I would say our unconditional love is complete. Even if they do something wrong, it's like I'm looking for a reason why somebody else did it. grandmas are way more forgiving and allowing of them to just be themselves Not that parents don't let you be yourself, but there is that beacon and that guidance that's part of it.
All right. If there's a young career woman today that's listening tonight that doesn't want a family because my job, my career, my weekend trips are too important, too fun, what would you say to that young career woman?
Wow. Well, I mean, we're all out there and we have free will, which means we have free will to do anything, whether it's necessarily good, bad, or indifference. But I think everyone has to make their own choice. I think what I might do is not give her advice, but just to simply say how blessed I have been to be a mother and to grow people into mature adults who are now growing children themselves that are out there and focusing on how can they make a positive difference in the world. Just the excitement and the blessing of being privileged to have been a mother. I would probably share that message.
Tomorrow we celebrate Mother's Day. If there's husbands listening tonight, dads, is there one thing you would say, June, to the husbands and dads tonight?
Well, I would say thank you to the husbands and dads because it, as I described the roles that moms have to play, it's a crazy, exhausting role. And moms need that love and protection and support for themselves as wives and mothers, but also dads have a big, big role to play in their children's growth. I mean, children need their dad, and they need to know that their dad helps them and loves them and supports them. So dads are a big part, so thank you, dads.
I would add one thing. Men, if you haven't bought flowers for your wife yet, make sure you buy them tomorrow morning. All right, let's go back 30 years, 1993. You're 15 years old. How was it you began designing and developing training programs?
I got into training in sort of an accidental way. I was volunteering at church, helping with a women's group. And one of the people attending, who was not a member of our church, just a member of the community, came up and she said, June, she said, you are so motivational. She said, you really encourage people. A friend of mine works for a training organization, and he's getting ready to leave his spot, and they're looking for a replacement for him as a trainer. And I had never done anything like that before. But I interviewed for the job and got the job and started a training program. I didn't write it. It was already written. But my job was to deliver it in an effective way. And once I was involved doing that, I was able to connect with other training firms and started working and developing training programs for leaders and organizations. And it all grew from that accidental meeting because I had been volunteering at church. I know I can spot a number of things in my life where I see God has opened windows and doors for me that I could never have created on my own.
All right. You've led training programs to over 2,000 plus groups, both in the for-profit sector and in the non-for-profit sectors.
Correct.
And there's differences. But one common amongst all those groups is they have to have a leader. What's a leader, June?
Wow. Yes, every organization, nonprofit, whether they're coaches for sports teams or coaches in high schools or the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Chamber of Commerce, every organization that needs to achieve goals needs to have a person, a leader, who is able to help them think through how do you set a goal? How do you go about achieving a goal? If everyone is talking simultaneously, it's chaos. A leader is a person that kind of takes all those great ideas and helps people consolidate them down to, what do we need to do to reach this goal that you're talking about? And while all the other things may be great as well, we need to focus. I guess maybe then a leader probably is the primary focus tool to help people focus so that they can achieve something.
All right. There's a difference between a leader and a manager.
Yes.
Ross Perot would talk about that a manager manages money, inventory, buildings. Mm. But a leader leads people.
Correct.
And you've written a number of books. Mm-hmm. One is Lead Strategically, Tools for Success in Your Ministry or Mission. And you've got 9 skills that you list.
Yes.
Skill number 1, give meaningful and motivating encouragement.
Encouragement, the reason I put that number 1 in the book is because it is probably the most important thing that a leader needs to know how to do. In my course of training in corporations, I learned that encouragement is not effective probably 99% of the time, because individuals are met with obstacles and reasons why people simply don't believe you. In my book, I mention 8 reasons why somebody isn't going to believe you when you say, attaboy, great job, you're wonderful. What I wanted to do in my book is not so much tell people what all the reasons are, as much as what can you do instead so that you actually can touch somebody's heart and be effective. And I came up with the metaphor of hitting a home run. I know there's a lot of sports fans out there, so they pretty much know how baseball works. 4 pieces, I think, matches a baseball game. You've got to get to first base, second base, third base, third base, and then home in order to make a run. So the first base, in order to get to that, you need to have a statement of thanks, appreciation, or quality. In other words, thanks a lot, or I really appreciate what you did, or that was great, that was awesome, you're wonderful. Any one of those will get you to first base. Unfortunately, first base is where you get thrown out by all of the reasons why people don't believe you. You've got to get past first base. And just saying all 3 of them together, thanks a lot, I appreciate what you did, you're wonderful, you just get thrown out at first base 3 times. You got to get to second base. And second base is a behavior-specific statement. What are you thanking the person for? What was the behavior they did that you really want to thank them or appreciate? Thanks a lot, I really appreciate that you stayed after the meeting last night to help me clean up, so that you helped me clean up quickly. That's what I'm thanking them for. That gets you to second base. Not enough to make a home run. Now you need to get to third base. And third base is a positive impact statement. You're thanking them for staying after the meeting to help you clean up. Why was that important? Well, how did that positively impact you or anybody else? So you would want to say, thanks a lot, I appreciate you staying after the meeting, because it allowed me to get done in time, to get home, to put my daughter to bed. Thank you. And from third base to home, this is where sincerity plays out. You can't get to home base if you have not been sincere. And I know George Burns said, sincerity is the key to the success in life. As soon as we can learn to fake that, we'll be made. Well, I don't recommend faking it, quite honestly, because we're not good at faking. I mean, we're not good at acting. That's why we pay millions of dollars to key actors. They know how to do it. We don't.
We're talking to June Kenney, and she's led tens of thousands of leaders across the goal line, home plate. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Grasula. We're with June Kenney, the author of several books, including Lead Strategically, Tools for Success in Your Ministry or Mission. June, the second skill you talk about is give compassionate criticism when things go wrong. You owe it to your people to tell them.
Yes, I think it's the second most important skill. Hopefully you do a ton more of the encouragement than you need to do the corrective behavior. But there are times when somebody has gotten off track and they're not achieving the success that you know they want to achieve and that you want them to achieve. So you need to have a way to help them recognize that what they're doing is not as effective as they would hope. And I recommend compassionate criticism because I call it criticism with a heart. And it helps people remember what it is because there are six steps to it. And the steps are A-H-E-A-R-T, a heart. So when they're in the midst of their conversation with this person, the other person is going to be interrupting them and talking as well. So no matter what the other person says, you still know where you are in the process, and you will get back to the next letter that you need to address. And I lay it out in the book that there is a way that you can help somebody. I call it compassionate criticism, but what you're really doing is, and in the minds of a lot of people who are leaders and Christian leaders and Christian organizations, I think there's even more of a reluctance to want to do any kind of criticism. But they have to understand you are not harming this person. Your job as a leader is to help each and every one of the people that works for you, whether they're a volunteer or paid, to be the greatest success they can be. You are helping them be successful. This model of six steps will help them actually be more successful, which touches their heart and will make a really committed worker for you.
One more. Skill number five, tap into built-in enthusiasm.
It's hard to know what motivates people. Literally, there are hundreds and hundreds of different motivations. It's difficult for a leader to know that uniquely about each person that works for them. Ultimately, getting to know somebody, you're going to pick up on some of those, but that's down the line. You can tap into built-in motivation almost on day one because there are three almost universal motivate. I call them almost because I'm sure there's somebody on the planet that isn't motivated by that. But let me tell you, it's the rest of us are almost universal motivators. There are three of them. And if you can find ways to help those individuals using those motivations, and they are. The first one is people want to know and be known. They don't want to be a nameless face in the workplace. They want to somehow get to feel like somebody knows me when I walk in the room. The second one is they want to be part of something bigger than themselves. They want to belong, which is one of the reasons why the sports clothing industry is a billion-dollar business. People want to feel like they belong, and they can be watching a football game in their living room with their college sweatshirt on, and if their team wins, they're cheering and loving what they're. It's so excited because we won. Now they may have never stepped a foot on that football field, but they belong to that team, that college, that organization, and that's true in whatever organization you're in. You want to feel like I am a real part of that organization. I help that organization to succeed. Which gets into the third almost universal motivator. People want to make a positive difference. If you can show them how your job you're asking them to do is going to make a positive difference in whatever your product or your service is, or in churches what your mission is, if you can help people recognize that when I'm doing this tiny little piece of a job that maybe doesn't look like it's important to anybody, you're showing me how it links to the success of what we're doing as an organization. People want to make a positive difference. So if you can find ways to help them connect with those pieces in your job, you're going to have a person who will go through a wall of fire for you.
That reminds me of the famous quote by Zig Ziglar.
Oh, I love Zig Ziglar.
The first book, See You at the Top, he ever wrote 41 times in the book. He says, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want.
Yeah.
Okay, June, if you want to learn more, www.howtokeepvolunteers.org. I quote you now. I found that most of what I was saying these past 30 years was right out of the Bible. And the reality is, June, the greatest leader, the greatest trainer, the greatest listener of all time was the Jewish carpenter. What did he teach us about being a leader, motivating people?
Oh, my gosh. Well, many of the key leadership skills that I talk about here come right out of the Bible or are consistent with biblical principles. Of course, in the corporate arena, not allowed to say that, but I knew that's what we were doing. Encourage one another daily. Do not neglect to say anything if it's in your power to help that person. Whenever you have to criticize, you have to do it with a loving heart. And just watching how Jesus formed his teams and succeeded at getting the job that he was to do on earth. He was the amazing leader of the world. But yes, biblically connected, it's what motivated me. And I wanted to be able to write a leadership skill book. This is a training manual. It's not a novel. You don't read it at page one and go all the way through. You look and see what skill will help me right now. Whether it's how to run a meeting that doesn't drive people insane, or criticism, or I wanted to put the skills down and show people in a very common way how you can achieve your skills.
We're talking to June Kenney. If you want to learn more, www.howtokeepvolunteers.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about volunteers. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to June Kenney. For the last 30 years, she's been designing, delivering training programs to over 2,000 corporate Christian audiences to improve leadership skills, strengthen teamwork, increase volunteer impact. All right, June, a lot of people think volunteers don't cost a thing. You say, unfortunately, volunteers are not free, far from it. Explain.
Volunteers are not free because it costs money to recruit, to train, to manage and lead, to resource volunteers so that they achieve the goals that you are needing, and you need their labor in your workforce. If you could calculate what volunteers are adding to your budget, if we're talking dollars and cents, and I think most organizations need to do that, you're talking dollars and cents. Just recently, the latest figures shows that they estimate the value, this is the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, they estimate the value per hour of a volunteer is equivalent to $28.54. And that doesn't include fringe benefits, which you're not giving them, which you would have to pay an employee. When you start looking at how many hours of work go into whatever your volunteer organization is, and you start multiplying it, we couldn't do it. I mean, if we had to pay for this, our budget would be astronomical, which we don't have. Volunteers are the lifeblood of nonprofits and churches.
And they're priceless.
And they're priceless.
Okay.
Absolutely.
On the flip side, a lot of listeners tonight saying, man, I'm busy. I've been considering becoming a volunteer for some entity, mm-hmm. for some cause. How and why, June Kenny, should I?
Well, I would recommend starting with the third almost universal motivator. Really have honed your explanation of how your organization is making a difference to help something in some way on planet Earth, or your mission is to win souls, or your mission is to give kids an opportunity to learn how to be a good team member and to learn how to work hard to achieve something and be successful, win games if they do, or how to lose gracefully. Those are all skills that you want to be able to train that are bigger picture. Tell them what your big picture accomplishments are and your big picture impact, and you're going to at least have their attention.
Change is good for everybody except you and I, June. The only constant in life is change. Some people ignore it, fear it, run from it. How do I learn to embrace change?
Wow. Saying we need to learn to embrace it because it's here and it happens all the time. I think thinking in terms of taking life as it comes and being flexible and looking for how do you handle whatever opportunity or issue that is dealing with you. For me, I know the way that it helps me to deal with what's ever happening is my faith. I know that God, I can look back on my past, and even when I didn't see him present, I know that he has been present in my entire life, guiding me and protecting me, even when I was doing stupid things. I would encourage people to look to God and say, I don't, you know, God, this new thing has just happened to me. I don't know what to do. I wasn't expecting this to happen, i.e. change. Give me wisdom and guidance and a peace that knows that whatever path I need to take now, you're with me. That, I don't know, quite honestly, I don't know how people get through life, which is the change you're talking about, without that.
Inner peace.
Inner peace, yes.
All right. All great leaders share the gift of being great listeners. How do I become a great listener? How do I become like your husband, Tim, a
yes,
world-class listener?
It's kind of like becoming a great violinist. Practice, 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 and that will help you. But to be a listener, part of what you need to do is get out of your own head of what you're trying to say to them. When they're talking to you, you want to clear your head and be what they call an active listener, and to try to understand what are they trying to say to me, where are they coming from, and then before you proceed, you want to make sure. Here is what I heard you saying. Did I get that right? And once you've zeroed in on, you really have gotten their perspective, then you can respond back to them. But it isn't an automatic thing. When somebody talks, you immediately respond back. You need to understand carefully by listening and then double checking. Did I hear you correctly? I think that'll get you a long way in initially your conversation.
We're talking to June, Kenny. June, anybody that's been around you says she's surrendered to God. She truly trusts God. She knows. She lives her life. She lets go and lets God. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. How do I learn to do that?
Well, the first thing I'd recommend is give it a try, but stick your toe in and be open to God's direction. And I think a lot of times, too, we need to have a better understanding of what God is telling us. I mean, there certainly... reading the Bible, which sometimes is confusing and it's not as easy to understand, but there are resources and there are godly people you can talk to that can help you. But basically, it's like jumping in the water. You know, you just need to stick your toe in and get going.
And as our time winds down together this evening, could you lead us in a closing prayer for our moms tonight?
Oh. Thank you. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for all of the moms that are out there. We know the challenges they have in their job, and we know that you are with them. Just pray that you will make your presence known to everyone that's listening so that they know that you love them and you care about them. So we pray that you will bless the moms and the grandmothers and anyone who is anywhere connected to leading and growing young children. So thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for June and Tim Kinney. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoken.
Believe in yourself.